Praise the Lord. I think you have said it all. I wanted to say that if somebody is a little bit praying for me now, especially those that want to sleep, please don't sleep. I don't appreciate it when I'm preaching and somebody is praying for me. So if somebody is sleeping, just tell the person, wake up. Amen? Amen? Amen. So I thank you for just thanking the church leaders, and thank you, Pastor Matt, for all your help and everything you've been doing. We just want to consider on the topic. As you look around, you see that this time around, there's a season we are in, and this season is called, can somebody just echo it? Which season are we? The Christmas period. Amen? And as I was listening to the interview, somebody said, back in Africa, when it is time for Christmas, people sell things probably triple. And the place you want to travel, which was $5 before, is going to cost you higher than that. And all in the name of Christmas. And then you see that things changes. And especially where I come from, you see many accidents on the way because people want to go home and celebrate Christmas. Some families will be crying and some family will be happy to welcome their beloved one. And the topic I want us to look into is the purpose of his birth. The purpose of his birth. In other hands, the reason of his birth. Amen. Now we understand that Jesus' birth was not by accident. You know, some people, they say, look, we don't want a child, we had enough. Like I saw some family back when I was in New Zealand. The first daughter was about 18 years. All of a sudden, the woman had a baby. And she went, they say, you got a baby? Say, no, it's a long time I stopped having baby. Well, it's the birth of Jesus Christ was not by accident. It was planned. And what we want to discuss again, you might not understand what the Lord Jesus have done for you if you don't know what you have done before. And let us look in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, reading from verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, I read from verse 15. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We understand that at the beginning, if you read from Genesis chapter 1, something happened. In Genesis chapter 1, God created heaven and earth, everything was perfect. Number 2, Genesis chapter 2, everything was also good. God will make this one, he said, it is good. God made this one, he said, it is good. And God made everything, he said, it is good. And he made a man to look after them. When God made a man to look after them, something happened in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, we are made to understand that Eve was being tempted by the serpent. When the serpent tempted Eve, and she fell by eating the apple that he or they were told not to eat. As I go around, I see people saying this. Look, if Adam or Eve did not eat the fruits, this world would have been a perfect world. Have you heard that before? If Eve and Adam did not eat the forbidden fruit, we should have lived in a perfect, can somebody echo from there? We could live in a perfect world. Well, but with my little understanding, I found out that if Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit, maybe the children would have eaten it. Have you ever seen some godly parents? The parent is so good. The God-fearing parents, yet their children are naughty. Have you heard that before? So don't you think if Adam and Eve did not eat the forbidden fruit, Cain would have tested it? Maybe Abel would have tried it to see how it tastes. And I am saying, the fault of Adam and Eve, if we want to do it this way, who commit more sin, Adam's children or Adam? Because Adam only eats fruits. What about the children that not only eat it, but they fry it, they cook it, they make smoothie with it? And at the same time, the children of Adam today, they can even use it as a cream, you know, and they can use it to lose weight, or even to add weight. But Adam only tested it. And you see that we all have different way in which we blame one another for doing this. If you don't know what God have done for you, or what you did, when somebody say, oh, you are saved, oh, just believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you will not know the meaning. And today, we want to drag you back to see what you did. And when we say, Jesus will forgive you, you will appreciate it. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. Now, we understand the first thing that happened is where we read. And that is in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that when Adam and Eve must have eaten the fruit, God told them not to eat. Something happened. The Bible said that God was walking or coming to fellowship with them. That's the difference between Christianity and many religions. God come to fellowship with us. We are not looking for God, but God come to us. Can somebody say amen to that? Now we understand that when God come to fellowship with them, and Adam and Eve, they ran away to cover themselves because they were naked. God asked a question. Adam, where are you? And Adam answered, wrong question. Because where are you? The answer should be, I am here or I am there. So what Adam answered was not the right answer by saying, I was running because I heard your voice or whatever. Then God said, why are you hiding from me? How many people are actually hiding from God? You know why people don't like front seats? You know that? Oh, a lot of people don't like front seats because they might be called to become a pastor. Praise the Lord. Now we want to say that there are different ways we solve our problem. Adam think that by hiding with the wife, the problem will be solved. I'll tell you a story that happened sometime in, I'm not calling the country, but somewhere in Africa. This man went for work and came back. He wanted to rest. As he sat down to rest, he began to notice there was a mouse running around his house. Then it's really disturbing him. He wanted to sleep, but the mouse was running around. You know what this guy did? He blocked the hole because he wanted to catch the mouse would escape. Then what he did was to block the hole, and all of a sudden, the mouse has a different hole, and he come out again and stopped disturbing the man. You know what the man did? He set the house on fire and burned his house down. When he burned his house down, he stood outside under the tree, and somebody comes to him and said, why are you standing under the tree? What happened to your house? And he said, it's finished. So the problem and the mouse problem is finished. She have solved it. In the evening, mosquito was biting. He was driving the mosquito. They say, why don't you go to your house? He say, it's finished. It's what? So the best way to solve the problem of rats or of mouse was to burn down the house. When we are talking of people offending God or sinning against God, the best way we can run away from God is to do what? Is to hide. When we hide, then the problem is solved. And I pray God will give us understanding in Jesus' name. So this man has solved it in his own way. How do you solve your own problem? Do you come to God when you say, come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Now we see that when God announced to the Adam and Eve that I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. You could say there, that is when the battle between us and the devil started. But there's one good thing here. The devil or Satan takes God's word serious. But the people of God don't really take it serious. When God says, I am going to put enmity between your seed and her seed. And her seed is going to bruise your head, but your own seed is going to bruise his heel. The devil took it serious, but man did not take it serious. What did Adam do? If you read in number 4, that's Genesis chapter 4, you find out that something happened in Genesis chapter 4. That Adam have brought his children up, Cain and Abel, and what happened is, when Adam had brought them up and teach them the way of God, they went to sacrifice unto the Lord. Abel's sacrifice was accepted. Cain's sacrifice was rejected. And the devil strike. What did he strike? He tried to cause doubts in the heart of people. How did he do it? It is to cause people to begin to think, why will somebody who is serving God, why is things difficult for me? Did you know that Abel offered sacrifice and God accepted it? The next thing that happened is Cain killed his brother. And by killing his brother, he's putting a doubt in you. But if God have accepted Abel, God should have saved him. God should have protected him. God should have looked after him. Then when Cain wanted to kill Abel, then the angel of God should have appeared. Why will God? Why? And that is what the devil wants to know, because his seed and the seed of woman, they were going to be a fight. And what happened is that the question was, who is going to be the seed of that woman? Could that be Cain? If it's going to be Cain, devil or the Satan have messed him up. By messing him up as a murderer, he's not going to be the seed. Praise the Lord. The only thing that makes the Cain or makes Satan to enter into Cain to kill his brother is because he don't want the seed of the woman to crush his head. He was serious about it, and now that Cain have become a murderer, there is nothing he can do. And chapter 5 of Genesis, guess the work that was done there. If you read Genesis chapter 5, all the people there, the job then was, their full-time job was to make baby and also to live long life. Make baby and live long life. Genesis chapter, Adam lived 900 and something, Methuselah lived 900 and something. That was all their projects. And it was working well. And the devil knows they can't go far with that. And at the end of the day, guess what? In chapter 6, the Bible made us understand that God was angry with men because the devil have thought of wiping away the human race. And God said, because of that, I repented of making man in my own image. They have done more than expected. And guess what? He said, the evil or the heart of man become evil continually. Then God began, how am I going to work with this type of person? But the devil was rejoicing. Satan was happy that I have done it all. And that is why when God promised that the seed of woman is going to crush your head, God have never failed. God preserved. He said, you know what? You can make an ark. I'm going to destroy everything. But I'm going to save Noah and his family. And guess what? When God save Noah and his family, how many people, please? Any of you remember how many people got saved there? Eight people, right? God saved eight people there. But how did the Satan enter inside? Because it looks like Satan still entered the ark. Because after the flood, you know what happened? The people start to build another tower that is going to God. And so that they can now become a people of known. People will know them. They are the people, oh, these people, they were great. How did Satan enter the ark? That is what we need to think about. So, all the plan of the devil is to make sure he crushed God's plan. And what you need to do is, when God says something, you got to believe God. You got to know that when God says something, he means it. Devil know that when God says that I am going to, the woman is going to have a baby, and this baby, or this son, or this seed, is going to crush your head, the devil know it. But the only way the devil can find it is to ridicule or to make the person that God will use to become what? Not fit for the job. You know the story very well. When God called Abraham, what happened when God called Abraham? Come out of your country and I'm going to make you a great nation. The devil tried to mess up this young man. Devil tried to mess him up. Oh, he do this, he do that. And the same way, you know the life of Joseph. When in the time of Jacob, his children, when you see there's somebody among them that looks like he fears God, and his name was Joseph. Did you see what Joseph go through? Because the devil wanted, could that be the seed? Could that be the seed? What about Moses? You know what happened to Moses? When Moses was born, the devil would say, could that be the seed? If it's the seed, the best thing you would do is to kill Moses. You know that it was said that every male child should be thrown into Nile or be killed so that the seed will be destroyed. And I pray that God will help you to trust and believe in God. For no weapon formed against us that will prosper, and every tongue that will rise against us in judgment shall be destroyed in Jesus' name. Now we see that's what happened. The seed of this woman was the person called Jesus Christ. And let us see the question that comes in the next one that says, who is this seed of the woman? We have read it in Genesis, and we are finding that the seed of this woman was Jesus Christ. And let us see in Galatians, let us see what God says in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. That is to say, Christ is the promised seed. Christ is the promised seed. And it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were this promise made. He said not, and the seeds, to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise the Lord. Now we understand that Christ became the seed of that woman. If you read in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, when Jesus was born, the people went there, the wise men went there to worship him, and they asked a question. Where is he that is born, the king of the Jew? We have come to worship him. And Herod said, well, if you go to find a place, can you just come and tell me so that me too, I can go and worship him? You understand what was in his mind? That his intention was to kill the seed of that woman. Praise the Lord. And now, God told Joseph, after the people have come to worship, to go back, said, God told Joseph, take this child and flee to Egypt. So in other hand, I always tell people, look, when somebody calls you a refugee, don't be scared or don't be intimidated. refugee is a good thing. Praise the Lord. If you are a refugee, just say, praise the Lord. Amen. So, refugee is a good thing. Jesus was also a refugee. Where? In Egypt. And he need to learn their language. He need to learn their English, whatever been their English then. So, Jesus was a refugee in English. In Egypt. So, if Jesus was a refugee, then what will make you to be ashamed to be called refugee? You know, sometimes when you call people refugee, they start biting their finger. What did you say? You say, yeah. No, Jesus was a refugee. You'll be proud of that. Amen? Now, we say that God told Joseph, take this child and flee to Egypt. And I want to tell you, as a Christian, sometimes things happen that become strange to you. Did you know that Jesus was born by was conceived not by human, but by the Holy Spirit? And Joseph, everybody was surprised to see such thing. If this is the Son of God, why will God ask Joseph to take this child and run away? Why can't God just kill the Herod and kill all the enemy of Jesus Christ and then let him be? Can you imagine? And Joseph was a self-employed person. I don't know any of you that are self-employed, and so all of a sudden you go in the night as you are sleeping in a dream. You had a dream that said, okay, just take your stuff and begin to run. And it is God that asks you to run. How would you, wouldn't that cast doubt in your mind? If it's the Almighty God, why would I be running? You know, they should run for me, not me running for them. Can you imagine Joseph running with the baby Jesus and the mother and from God? You know, sometimes things happen. You say, well, if we are a Christian, I think that such one happens mostly in Africa. They say when you are fire in the Lord, the devil will not come near you. Amen? If you are on fire, so the devil is just like a fly. So if you are on fire, the devil cannot touch the hot pot. But I was wondering that when Jesus was in the desert, was he not on fire? Was he on the fire? Why did Satan still come? You know, sometimes we encourage ourselves by not really searching carefully in the scripture, and we think it's just the right way. What I'm trying to say that Joseph, while he was running away, yet doing God's will, why will he be running away? And the life of Joseph, we are made to know that he was not a doctor, but he was what? Any of you remember what Joseph was? A carpenter. And as a carpenter, if your chair broke, you take it to the carpenter. What will he do? He will fix it. And you can now sit in a good chair, right? That's the person that God chose to be the father of the Savior, or to be the caretaker of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? In other hand, if your bed, if your cupboard, if whatever you're using in the house is broken and you still want it, you take it to the Joseph. Joseph will fix it and make you smile. The same way today, God brings Jesus Christ that anytime you commit sin or anytime you realize that you are a sinner, if you go through Jesus Christ, you will smile. Praise the Lord. As Joseph is busy fixing the chair, Jesus is busy fixing the life of people. And we pray that you will understand this in Jesus' name. Joseph was chosen to be the father here on earth of Jesus Christ. And Jesus also was meant to look after your soul, your body. That if your heart is broken, if you are addicted to anything, if the devil have kicked you anywhere, or probably kick you at the back and you are feeling back pain, if you go through Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You shall be saved because you call in the name of the Lord. Now we also see that they will continue on the purpose of his birth. The purpose of Jesus' birth in John chapter 18, verse 37. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. Can somebody say amen to that? So Jesus did not just come because he feel like to have some. You know, sometimes we say, let's just go and have some rest or take some time off and go for a party. Or let's just go for some, you know, to some other country and see how things is going there. No, Jesus come with a purpose. And the purpose was to save people from their sin. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, he will save his people from their sin. He will save his people from their sin. And Luke chapter 9, verse 56. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. Praise the Lord. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. So if Jesus' mission is to save people's life, you, the follower, the disciple, what is your own mission? It should be same with your master. It should be same with your leader. Can you imagine what happened? That when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, they want to pass through Samaria. And the people say, no, you're not going to pass here. And John came to him and said, Master, can we command fire to burn them up? As, remember the quote from the scripture, as Elijah commanded fire and fire consumed the people. And Jesus rebuked them. You don't know the manner of spirit that is in you. I am not like Elijah. I come to save man's life. You know, today you see a group of people, Christians, they are busy trying to know who they're going to destroy through prayer. Oh God, I want you to do this person this. God, I want you to kill this person. God, I want you to make this person sick. God, I want you to do this because they offend you. But Jesus did not come to destroy man's life, but he came to save it. And if we are Jesus' disciple, we should also learn from the master's feet. And I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. I understand that sometimes people can make life difficult for you. But Bible says, all things work together for good to them that love God. People can make your life so miserable, but that's okay. All you need to do, love God. If you love God, God will turn that thing unto good for you in Jesus' name. Now we also see in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8b. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8b says, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The purpose of Jesus coming, the reason of Jesus coming, is to destroy the seed of the devil. That was the purpose of his coming. And we got to announce it to people that Jesus has a purpose of coming. He didn't just come because he wanted to come for vacation. He just, you know, that, you know, in Fiji, it's maybe half price, or maybe somewhere in Africa is half price. Let's just go and see how the weather look like. Jesus did not come to this world to see how the world looked like. He came here with a mission. Praise the Lord. He came here with a mission, and that mission is to save sinner from their sin. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not. Let us say should not. You know what it means? I should not. You have no right to perish. You have no right to perish. Whosoever believe in him, it's not whether or what they say, you have no right to perish. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promises to you. If we, whosoever believe in him, should not perish, but we have everlasting life. Amen. And then we see that the birth of Jesus Christ become something pretty good in the sense that when Jesus was born, not everybody knew. But those who was waiting for him did see him. And we see in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. Can somebody say amen to that? Isaiah was able to see what is going to happen many, many, many years to come. Back in Africa, if your mother-in-law, your wife has a baby, you know what happened? Your mother-in-law, any day the child is born, your mother-in-law will rub powder on the head, pour powder everywhere and take some to the market. And people will say, what happened? Say, my son-in-law had a baby. And everybody, if you're happy, he will put some powder on your hand. Can you imagine what Isaiah is saying? Unto us a child is born. If you ask Isaiah, where is the child? Where is the child? You say it is born. There was no child. But Isaiah was able to see Jesus by faith. Praise the Lord. For without faith, it is impossible to do what? To please God. Isaiah was able to see Jesus being born. He said, unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. Unto us, you know, can you imagine, his name shall be called Counselor. Wonderful. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Where is he? Is he been born? He has been born. Where is he? There were people that were able to receive from God, even when others didn't see it. Praise the Lord. And today, we got to live by faith and trust God that in this Christmas period, even when every other person is eating chocolate and cake, we are going to be happy to tell them that Jesus Christ is born and his mission was or is to save you, to save people from their sin. Praise the Lord. Knowing the meaning, we were cast out and somebody come to make a bridge that through him we might come back to God. And that is going to be our mission, that unto us a child is born. Where is that child? The child named Jesus Christ, the seed of that woman that have come to crush the head of serpent. And that's whom Jesus is. And I pray that God will give us understanding, even as I stop so far, in Jesus' name, amen.